gonna keep it trail. Show is back. That's right. Ciroc. A much finer vodka. I just tap it. It's like pizza, you only eat the crust. Drop Dead Beats, E. Philly, Rich Play the God, Titi Barbara. You know when it's only your friends watching, the live becomes FaceTime. Let's go. Under the moonlight, Ciroc, a much finer vodka. 10 p.m. every Tuesday, Revolt TV. Let's go. My nephew is on the check-in. Team Assad Talent is on the check-in. Yeah, faith killed this thing, no question. Whoop! The Fat Joe Show is back. Executive producer Azariah Milan Galta Henna. And the Celtics are getting destroyed to where I had to change the channel. Now, a very talented, incredible player, Tatum is. But I tell you all the time, he's a beautiful person, beautiful family. But when it comes to his cockiness on the court, and I become a bit of a Brooklyn hater, Brooklyn Nets hater. G-Spin said he's drunk. He can't watch that game sober. That's them New Englanders. They over there, they getting it bad with them. That's painful. Okay? Went back and forth with Julius Randle. He's ready. New York, we here. And so we'll get busy tomorrow. You know, I want to take you back to a year ago. A lot of uncertainty. People were dying, especially in the black and brown community. Around this time, it had been maybe 2 to 3 months since COVID existed. Everybody was finally taking it serious and everybody was home. Everybody was quarantined. DJ D Nice was rocking. Everybody from presidents to whoever, NASA was in there, but we wasn't leaving the house, we were respecting. And then comes the 9 minutes and 29 seconds that we watched George Floyd get murdered by Derek Chauvin, or Chauvin, huh? Chauvin? Derek Chauvin. Piece of shit. And so the whole world, because we have friends that didn't grow up in the hood, that ain't black or brown, that when they watch black people on TV complaining about the police and all that, they like, what are y'all talking about? These guys are great guys. Like, I've never seen nothing like this. It finally was captured on film. Have been captured before, but not like this. And so I know I wanted to go out there and march and rally, but I was scared. And the family was like, you can't go, Joe. You can't go. Right? But I was with all my people out there that was out there marching for George Floyd. This was unprecedented. This was seen all over the world. France, UK, Europe, Australia. Everybody marching with one voice. Black, brown, white, Asian, you name it. Under a COVID. Under the COVID. The corona virus. And so everybody had to make a change. Everybody made a transition. The league. I remember the Milwaukee Bucks stood down. They said, we're not going to play. Bringing awareness. And what George Floyd has become is a symbol of the voiceless. A symbol of every time your mother, your father got stopped by the police and were scared and were terrified. I know my father, man. He's a good guy. He's not a criminal, never been a criminal. Always worked hard, carpentry, bakery, whatever. But every time the cops got behind my father, he got nervous. And so do you. Why is that? If so much of the police officers are brothers and sisters who grew up with us, why do we get nervous when they throw the uniform on and the badge on? Why don't we get happy and smile and say, ooh, police officer. It's just crazy because just the other day I was Bronx Week. I was there with Ruben Diaz and we're in Orchard Beach. There's a bunch of police officers standing there. The people are standing there dancing. I don't even see them interact no more. It's like the police officers say, hey, we're from the planet police officers. They live Rockland County, different places where all the cops live. They marry each other and stuff like that. And so we have a big divide going on. And George Floyd became the ultimate symbol of this. We had seen it before with Philando. The worst case I've ever seen was Tamar Rice, 12-year-old kid. I'll explain this to my father. See, my father's a knucklehead. He's Cuban, don't speak English. But I had to explain this to him the other day. And I had to. He agrees. But I explained to him the worst thing I had ever seen was a little kid playing with a toy gun. That's what you're supposed to do when you're 12. Cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians in a park, and the cop gets out and shoots him in 2 seconds and kills him. Little kid. And got away with that. And so all of this was going on for Philando, the guy who worked in the school. Great guy. Everybody protested for him. We watching a brother in South Carolina, I believe in North Carolina, getting shot in his back. Then the cop throws the taser to act like he had a... I mean, we've seen all this shit. The young lady getting murdered in the precinct. We've seen it all. But this was the one. And it's been a year. It's been a year. It's been a year since George Floyd had passed away. Now, within that year, we saw so much go on. We saw the president bring out the army in front of the White House and push everybody out. I don't want to turn this about Trump today. I don't want to do that one. Right? I don't want to do that one. But we've seen it. We've seen police officers clothesline an 80-year-old white man at that. bust his head open up in Buffalo, New York. And so we gotta find a way to police the police. Because everybody is accountable for their actions. And so in New York, I believe they passed a law where, so for years, if the cops do it to you, you knew you got to fight the city. If you wanted to sue them, you have to sue the city. It take years. You can't beat them. But now they're holding the police officers personally accountable, meaning their pensions, their jobs, their money. You can sue them. So now they're acting a little different. And so, how can we trust when every time we see an injustice with our eyes, George Floyd, Rodney King, Aubrey, any human being sees that it's wrong, but yet and still, they stay loyal to each other and they deny this. How can we trust these people? Trust is a very big word for the night. Trust is a very big word. And so there's people like me, even me. Because of COVID, I stood at home, but I've rallied before with Reverend Allen and all of them. But because of COVID, I stood at home. But even me, this guy's on the street to say, Joe, we on the street. You home. And so we got to respect them. When you see a sister getting pepper sprayed and all that in the front line, you got to respect her because she's fighting for justice. And so how can we find trust? And so tonight, in a couple of minutes, we'll have the one and only Benjamin Crump on here. Now, what does it take to be Benjamin Crump? To only show up where there's pain involved and put the pain on your shoulders. To go out there knowing that you got a 99% chance of losing and still stand up for the people. Benjamin Crump is the guy we can depend on for civil rights. And so when you look around, you're in trouble, you got to go to the go-to guy. And this guy is so intelligent. I don't want to talk too much about him because I want to talk to him when we talk to him. And me and Benjamin Crump, we're text buddies. We text each other from time to time. He'll send me something and be like, yo, Joe, check this out. It's usually a tragedy. It's usually something we really don't want to see. But what makes this man dedicate his life to the people? Does he get paid? Of course he does. He's an attorney. I tell you all the time, I live next to these people. I don't know what they do. At least they know I rap. But the next person in the mansion, I don't know what they do for their money. Nor do I ask them. And so, I learned this year that there was something called systemic racism, where I knew injustices were happening to me. I knew, let me tell you something. One time in the Bronx, in Drosnick, I tried to buy a house on the water. This is when I first started, right? The house was like $500,000. So I had to put down, I think, like $75,000. And then the bank had to do the appraisal and make sure this house is worth what it is. And at the end of the day, the bank denied the loan because the area wasn't accepted. Now that house is probably worth $5 million. But they denied the loan. And in the contract, it said the deposit I put down, the seller gets to keep that. I didn't know that. I'm fresh out the projects, 23, 24 years old. But these are versions of systemic racism. At the time, I thought it was like, my bad. You should have known better. Or when the cops pull me out the car, and before I could talk, they already searching my waist, searching the car. I didn't know that this, I just thought it was like, yo, I caught a bad one. You know, down here in Miami, I'm going to tell you something. Down here in Miami, I remember one night, it was weird, right? My brother Rich the Barber, he decided to cook for us. So we in his house, and he didn't have an ingredient. So I said, yo, I'll go. So I get in my car. I go to try to go to the supermarket. And out of nowhere, cop pulls me over. I got a white Benz coupe, Superfly. I used to love that car. And pulls me over, and I didn't have my license on me. So he puts the handcuffs on me. This is in Miami now. He puts the handcuffs on me and puts me in the back of a cop car. It's been a long time since I've been in the back of the cop car. So I'm realizing, damn, Eva, I got too big, or they making these smaller because my knees was damn near by my neck, right? So, but what was crazy was I had never heard Ku Klux Klan radio. While I'm in the back of the car and they're trying to figure out, do I have a license or not? The radio is Ku Klux Klan radio talking the N-word, the this, the that. This is the cop. And so I'm sitting there with my hands behind my back, and thank God in Miami they got these computers. My face came up. Boom. He had to let me go. But it's the guys that we pay to protect and serve. Listening to Ku Klux Klan radio. And so you could be very fooled in Miami. That's a city that a lot of New Yorkers move to and all that. But you could drive out in the middle of Florida, and that's a very different story. You may see an 18-wheeler truck that the whole shit is painted Confederate flag. An 18-wheeler I've seen. Confederate flag. Will they drive it in Harlem? No. But they'll drive it out there with he in power. And so, driving to ATL. ATL is Black Hollywood, Black Rich, whatever, Black Excellence you want to call it. When you drive from Miami to the ATL, 45 minutes to an hour out the suburbs, you will see Ku Klux Klan crosses. You will see Confederate flags a mile long. And so now, when you get locked up in the ATL, if we believe in systemic racism, ay Dios mío. Be clear. Because you think you own it, you know it. So once you go in there, who knows what radio they listening to? Ciroc, much finer vodka. And so tonight, we have one of the greatest voices, orators of this time. I know who he is. He's historical. And I'm always for standing up for the smaller guy. That's what I've always been about. Standing up for the voiceless, standing up for the people who, because George Floyd, there's a bunch of George Floyds in America that don't have a voice, don't have a camera, don't have nobody to speak up to them. It's happening right now outside of Waffle House. It's happening right now on a corner in Harlem or in Brooklyn. It's happening all over the United States, and Compton is happening right now. East LA. And so, one thing I've always known that I've learned from the Jewish community is there's power in numbers. And so, if something goes wrong in Brooklyn with the Jews, they coming out. From the babies to the oldest man in the world, the oldest lady, they coming out. And what does that represent? Votes. And what does that represent? Power. And so one thing that happened this year was the power of the people. First time ever. Well, I don't know ever, but first time that a Democrat won Georgia. Either the first time or it's very rare. And that all had to do with George Floyd. The people stuck together. And so if it doesn't teach you anything else, it teaches you, you have to stay together. That's what it's about. And when you look, we can't mistake it. We look at the basketball game, Black Lives Matter. Anywhere you look. Well, we gotta stick together. Somebody said they don't do that with the Mexicans. Mexicans need to stick together. Black needs to stick with Mexicans. Latinos need to stick with blacks. Everybody needs to stick together anyway. Because if you're living in a poor neighborhood, you got poor health care, you got poor education, a lack of any inspiration. If you learn to stick, this is why, look, I might be going too real on y'all. If you learn that there's power in numbers, and the Latinos and the blacks got the same bullshit schools, the same things going on. Together, there's power in numbers. Now the voiceless has a blowhorn, a megaphone. You guys, need to listen and pay attention, bro.
Listen.
And so, that's what it's all about. And I got a couple of minutes, three more minutes to my man. So we on here every night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're talking about things that really matter and things that can uplift the people, spark something, a light bulb in your head to make you realize that you do have the power and the potential to do whatever you want to do. That's what this show is all about, uplifting the people. You talk about motivation and free game. This is where it's at. No mumbo jumbo. And that's no shots at my brother Gilly from Philly and Wallow. They're great guys. I love them. It's about motivating and inspiring the people. We're going to bring a brother on here in a couple of days. His name is Zion. I didn't know about him, but I looked him up. Ghost Amari Hardwick said, Joe, it's the most motivating thing I've ever seen in my life. So we looked him up, and he's ready. And so that's what this is about. Coming on here and say, hey, guys, I'm so blessed. Because of you, y'all made my dreams come true. And so I'm going to share with you everything I know. Hopefully it'll help you. Does that make sense? Hopefully it'll help you. And so a lot of people, they get scared to talk about certain things, and they just, we don't have no boss. We made our own media company on here. We don't have no boss. And we come on all the time. And this is a destination. This is not where we tear you down. The Fat Joe Show is where we lift you up and show the true brilliance in you. That's what we do. Huh? You guys, they crazy, y'all. My daughter and Theo Rich Flay to God, they're nuts. Nah, you guys are crazy. Sending requests. I hope he comes on. Well, he is coming on, but, you know, sending requests. And so, Butterfuco, what's up, my brother? Hard-working entrepreneurs. Hard-working entrepreneurs. This is terrible what's going on, what's happening to the Celtics. In a terrible way, I feel for you guys. Junito and Percy. Peace, God. You know, they tell me all the time, man. Let me tell you something.
Crack him.
They tell me all the time, man. Yo, Joe, man. You love doing it on IG. I love interacting with the people. Where else can you get a situation where you're talking and people can respond right to what you're saying? For the people, by the people, for us, by us. I seen somebody say that in the, in the Underground Railroad. Like, so you know, sometimes we don't know that, Young Nems, what's up? We don't know where these quotes and all this come from. That's your guy, Azzy. As he loves this guy, what a sad legend. As he loves this guy, Nems from New York, the rapper. She's seen him perform and she likes it. Yo, 2J's. Congratulations, 2J's. JC, he's opening up. It's like a coliseum in Vegas. The man was homeless. Sold one pair of sneakers, then a second pair of sneakers, then another pair of sneakers. And the next thing you know, now he owns bigger than a Foot Lock, bigger than 10 Foot Locks. Some big thing going on in Vegas. And I'm proud of you, my brother, Latino like me. You made it from the bottom and rose yourself up. That is what we're talking about. Rest in peace, O, from Tax Crew, Orlando. God bless him. Everybody in the Tax Crew. My brother Verse, I see you on here. And so, that's what I'm talking about. Keep sending my requests, guys, but he's going to answer. And so, shout out to Africa Day. You know, we sent the little video out there. You know, Africa is a very special place to me. I've been all over Africa. And when you see the movie Muhammad Ali and you see Boombaye, Boombaye, I could believe it because I used to walk the streets of Africa and they'd be Boombaye and me walking the streets of Africa. Never felt the need for real security. Never felt unsafe. Went and got my hair cut in the middle of the hood every time. And so you need to get out there and support more out there. So happy Africa Day. Send in that video. And that's what we're doing. UK, thank you for making Sunshine number one in all the charts over there. Sunshine. Sunshine's number one in the UK. It's amazing to be in the game 26 years and still put out a record that goes number one. They tell us to stop. They tell us when not to believe in ourselves. And if I listen to these people, we do have a Puerto Rican Day Parade. And now with the Puerto Rican Day Parade, I do not know if you guys know, I am the reason for hip hop in the Puerto Rican Parade. There was a man named Ramon Velez who ran the Puerto Rican Parade. He refused to put hip hop on there. He said, Puerto Ricans don't like hip hop. And so I fought him and fought him and fought him. And every year I went back till he finally gave in and became the biggest shit in the Puerto Rican Parade. What happened? Man. Nah, he won't do that. He's gonna show up. Y'all, 2J's. Stay right there, 2J's. I requested Ben Crump. I'm waiting on him. I'll take 2J's down to really give me the fastest way of his story. But
family,
yo, 2J,
what's going on, bro?
Where you at in the new store,
man, bro? Joe, listen, bro. Look, bro,
show them how big that store is.
Look at this sneaker wall, Joe. No, I don't think they're ready, bro.
2J's.
I'm listening. I'm here, family. How are you?
Tell them how you started in the sneaker game.
So a couple years ago, I moved out to Vegas. And my first 6 months I was out here, I was homeless. I used to panhandle on the strip. I used to try to sneak into hotels and casinos to try to shower. And when I couldn't, I would jump in the fountains in front of Caesar's Palace. And close to 7 years ago, I started with one shoe. And $40, and now we're here with the biggest sneaker store in the city inside Caesar's Palace.
When is the grand opening? Two
Friday,
days.
Friday.
This Friday, right now?
This Friday, bro. But look at this wall. Here, let me. I know you got people lined up, and this wasn't part of the agenda. And I genuinely appreciate you, but I just want to show the world, man. And then look, that's just the first floor. So there's 4,800.
Anything's possible.
Man, 4,800 pairs.
Anything's possible.
That part. There's 4,800 different pairs of sneakers on that wall right now. Then we did clothing.
Wow.
There's a bunch of art. I did a lot of art. There's an elevator. We done did. We did.
Yo, 2J's, you telling them. You used to have to jump in the water fountain at Caesars to take a shower.
It's wild, bro.
Tell these people that they have the power
so
to become whatever they want, that anything is possible.
So listen, I would love to use you as a perfect example, right? How long you been rapping?
26 years.
When did you really start getting your flowers and people started paying attention to what you was doing?
Maybe this year, I don't know, man.
Maybe this year. I'd say you had a solid 10 before people really started looking your way. Like, really looking your way. Where it started changing your life, right? Where you caught them blessings. But how many hours you put in the studio, how many sacrifices you put in over those years. And people only focus on this part right here. And it takes years.
It's crazy.
When I look at your career and your body of work and a lot of other people that I put on pedestal, I done told you this before, man. I look at how much time, energy, effort, and all the sacrifices you had to make and just understood, yo, I got to fall in love with the work. So for me, when I was looking at other resellers and all that other stuff, I said to myself, damn, man, all these guys that are touching all these shoes that I never thought I would see or that I think I could afford, it's just going to take me time to build the relationships. I got to put my work in. I got to start at the basement. And now we got two floors. Now we got a couple pinball machines, couple little shoes you can wear here and there. We got a little barbershop. You can get a haircut up in here.
We got hey, yo, two J's, man.
Look, tattoo
God
joint.
God bless you, my brother. I want everybody to go out there. Where's the address in Vegas?
It's in Caesar's Palace, 3500 Las Vegas Boulevard.
That's what I'm talking about. Entrepreneur, being your own boss, taking destiny into your own hands. God bless, my brother.
Same, bro. I appreciate your time, man. I look forward to the visit next time you out here, man. Send my love to the family,
will,
bro.
I will, 2J's. I will, 2J's.
Love.
All right, my brother. God bless. Go. Wow-wee. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's only about stories of people who came from nothing and became successful. The man was homeless. He would dig in the garbage. He would take showers in the fountains we go out there to see. And now he has a store that's two floors. Don't block your blessings. Don't hang out with doubters. Don't hang out with people who aren't gonna lift you up. Everybody has to win. Why are you worried about somebody else winning? Why does it bother you that somebody else wins? Why are you not happy for that man? You know what that means? When that man wins, that means there's more jobs in the community. The money trickles down. That's the true trickle-down effect. Brother like that, get a store two floors. Who you think he's hiring? Man, let me tell you something. Attorney Crump went to the White House today and everything. He might have got lost with the president. Because the man is a great man. He's a man of his word. I keep trying to get him on here. Lindy Official, what's up, my brother? Yeah, that's crazy. People do be mad when you win. And that's the craziest thing. I never understood that. Every time I seen Puff Daddy win or Jay-Z or Dr. Dre at this, I said, wow, I could do that.
His flight might be delayed. From Minneapolis to DC.
Oh, he was going from Minneapolis to DC. I mean, listen, I love Ben Crump no matter what. And I'll save these beautiful questions I have for Ben Crump because I know he'll be coming back. He's been on the show before. We talk almost every other day, texting and stuff like that. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep requesting. Better late than never. But, because what happens is you're supposed to look at everything as inspiration. One time when I first met LL Cool J, oh, this is a Joker moment because I don't think I said this. And so LL Cool J invited me to his house in Long Island. Right, when I went there, it was so beautiful. You know, he's my idol. It was so beautiful. And I was looking like, oh my God, I've never seen nothing like this. Right? And he said, how did you get this? He said, that's simple. You do the same thing I do, but you rap for the streets and the hardcore guys and all. I rap to the girls. I make commercial hits. And that's why I got money like this to buy this. And so that sparked an idea in my head that didn't only go with me. It went with Big Pun. And so when I met Big Pun, I said, oh, no, this is going to be the Spanish Biggie. We're going to throw Versace on him. We're going to make him fly. We're going to talk to the ladies. We're going to do a little bit of everything. And so from that one conversation, it sparked a light bulb in my head that made me change my game up. And Rashad, we're waiting for Ben Crump. We are not going to get into white van talk tonight. And it's so crazy that a show that started from nothing. We have segments. This is crazy. My daughter's 15 now. She was 14. She turned on the live and said, yeah, talk to your people. And so I talked to them. We have Joker moments. We got You Don't Know Who You Know. We got white van talk. We definitely can't do a white van talk. When we're going to have Ben Crump here. And so we're going to keep trying. It's okay. You can watch me or you can watch these guys getting beat by 10,000 points. But let me tell you what we don't do on this show is drag nobody. Pull nobody down. It's all about uplifting people, bro. For years, we've been duped. We've been going on these hip-hop shows thinking that we're going to promote our album or promote something or show love, and it always turns into who you got beef with. Who's this? Who's that? Oh, this guy dressed better than you, or this guy this. And then that's how they bring the drama together. With all that Biggie Tupac, a lot of it was the magazines. A lot of that drama was the magazines playing everybody against each other. We don't do that, bro. And we've been successful. We're successful. When you come from nothing and you have something, you're successful, brother. Yeah, people could love drama. I'll save it for the movies. Controversy sells. That's cool. I think that's a myth that they told us. All I did was mess up my bag beefing with 50 Cent and Jay-Z. I don't know how much controversy sells. I might have had a bunch of dumb guys going, yeah, God, you get it. But the bag wasn't in the beef. Hello? The bag wasn't in the beef. Hello? So I'm gonna save these questions. I had a lot of real stuff to talk to Benjamin Crump about. And so the world is a very dark place. There's a lot of terrible things going on. You see what happened in Colombia. You see what happened over there in Palestine and Israel. You see what happened in Ethiopia. If you just look, Syria, it's a bunch of crazy shit going on. And so you got to do what you can in a righteous way from wherever you at to make a difference. And every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. And so, not going to talk about Donald Trump. I know he's a hot topic today. I just mind my business. But it's looking like it's heating up over there. I don't, you know me, I don't never recommend or I never feel happy when someone's about to go down. But it's looking serious over there. So I'ma do it like this. Keep trying. But you wanna know why, guys? Let me tell you a secret. If I ain't try, we would have never made it this far. If I didn't try, we would have never made it this far. Do I believe in God? You must not watch the show. I beyond believe in God. Every day we talk about God, man. Every day we talk about God. Put God first in your good and bad times. I just believe that we worship God in different ways. And everything is tailor-made with your relationship with God. I don't believe I have to go into it, which I'm not against anyone that goes to church. Love church. I watch church. I watch Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes. I have no problem. If you praising God, I'm with you. That's the point. That's the point I want to make. That you should have a relationship with God however you want to have it, as long as it's respecting people, uplifting people, helping people that are less fortunate. Righteousness, being good to your family. That's what I believe in. And helping, you know, charity and stuff like that. And so, that's what I mean. Now, I don't care. If you go to church, you go to church. If you go over here, you go over there. If you go there, whatever. This is church. It might be somebody who want to fuck this shit up. Ah, my man, Tommy from Power, Joseph. Joseph said, you're a good man, Josie. Proud to know as a Catholic, thanks for the universal love. A fact. You praise God, or you praise God. Everybody praise God. You got to have a relationship with God. God is the boss. Yeah, Brooklyn is running away with it. The Nets win. This is church. Yeah. You might need to hear one time. You might want to flip. All right, Joseph, good looking, my brother. You might want to flip. Come on in and be like, Fat Joe talked you out of it. Look, let me tell you something. We're going to reschedule. We're going to reschedule because the good attorney don't look like he's making it from the White House here. And so, let your darkest moments bring your most clarity. When you're going through something, me, I went through something. I got in trouble. They was taking my money. I would not accept money from no one. I have too much pride. But the same thing that make you smile be the same thing that make you cry. Never have too much pride. But I had too much pride. And in my mind, I kept track of everybody who never offered to help me. Everybody who never offered to help me, any one of my guys that I thought were my friends that I would die for, that I would do anything for in the business, that never came to me and said, Joe, I have $5 to help you. Now, I never forgot the ones that did. And it's nice to know that when you're going through something, even though you won't accept it, it's nice to know that somebody's in your corner and somebody is really there for you and really, really loves you. Because what's money anyway but paper? What's cannabis but flour? You know, I got a crazy story about my girl, Lauren Ridinger. She came to court when I got sentenced. She heard everything. She begged me to come to her house. This woman is filthy rich. And so I go to her house and she's friend and everything. And she's crying when I get in there. Oh, Joe, I can't believe this. And they even took your IRA. And she said, I spoke to JR and he told me I can give you this. It was $1 million check. The check was $1 million. While I was at my lowest point, about to go to jail, they took all my money. She came with $1 million check. Chased me around the house because I wouldn't take it. And I said, Lauren, I can't take your check. I don't get down like that. But could you show me how to make $1 million and more millions other than rap music? Can you show me how to be an entrepreneur? Could you show me some of the things that made you successful? That's what I want to know. I don't want the fish. I want to learn how to fish. And she did. But I never forgot she chased me with that check. Coming from Forest Projects. Coming from nothing, welfare, sleeping on the floor. I actually had a friend that wanted to give me $1 million check. I felt so good and so proud leaving there, knowing that I had a friend who wanted to help me. So let your darkest moments bring your most clarity. Now, if you're going through a hard time or you went through a hard time and nobody's sitting next to you, if it doesn't kill you, it's just a lesson. God is teaching you a lesson. So now a fool makes a mistake. Anybody makes a mistake, only a fool makes it twice. You're going to trust these guys and when you're down and out, they're not there for you? We'll try to get the good attorney Crump another day. I still love you, Ben Crump. I know you coming to our people. I know you coming to our platform. Everybody trust God in the good and bad times. No matter what, this is the biggest in the game. Peace.